just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this Friday, Good Friday, April 3rd, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop, here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us, as usual, a history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield every Friday from 10 to 11. Today, President Abraham Lincoln, quote, "The intention of the lawgiver is the law." End quote. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yeah, amen. That's true. And so it's pretty obvious where I'm going with here. There was a hearing in the Supreme Court. It looks like, and President Trump is trying to has issued an executive order overthrowing the long now practice idea of any baby born in the United States, whether their parents are here legally, illegally, whatever the case, are immediately citizens. And he's already said we're not going to do that anymore.
Birthright citizenship.
And we're not going to do that anymore. Now, Abraham Lincoln said, and you just said it, that the intentions of the lawgiver is the law. He said this in his first inaugural address. And by the way, this is a standard for jurisprudence. It's a standard for human living. I mean, you have to understand something in the historical context of what it is said, and that obviously applies to the 14th Amendment of the United States. But in this case, obviously, he said this in 1861. Abraham Lincoln did, and he was trying to the South, look, all the rights in the Constitution that basically allow for slavery, I'm going to respect them. Now, it was clear that Abraham Lincoln did not like slavery. He thought it was a moral evil. Nevertheless, the Constitution recognized it. So that's the context of this. And the intentions of the lawgiver is the law. Okay, so I'm reading. I will not get done with this before the first break, but I'll start this. Abraham Lincoln says in his first inaugural address, "There is much controversy about the delivering up of fugitives from service of labor. The clause I now read is as plainly written in the Constitution as any other provision." By the way, up to this point, the word slavery was not in the Constitution. It was persons held to service. We didn't want to use the word slavery because even people from the South, well, at least like Madison, Jefferson, they knew the moral evil of slavery. But slavery was the condition. They were just slaves in the South, and they felt like they had to put this provision in the Constitution or the whole Union would break up. There would be no United States of America. So you had to, here's this dirty word here, a compromise on slavery. Now, awful easy for us to look back and to say that should have never been done. Okay, and I'll say it, should have never been done. But they didn't see how they could get a country without that. I mean, it was just the way it was. Okay, so here's the provision in the Constitution. No person held to service or labor in one state under the laws thereof, escaping into another, shall, in consequence of any law or regulation therein, be discharged from such service or labor, but shall be delivered up on claim of the party to whom such service or labor shall be made due. We'll talk about that on the other side.
Sounds good. Perfect spot for a break. History lesson, 14th Amendment, birthright citizenship. President Trump wants to stop it. Supreme Court heard oral arguments. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat
and terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment of our discussion. Pastor Chatfield, I want you to hold that thought on what Abraham Lincoln said in his first inaugural speech. I want to ask a very simple question, and I want to ask about why President Trump's Solicitor General didn't use these arguments in the Supreme Court, from what I heard. The 14th Amendment.
Yes.
Let me ask my question. The 14th Amendment, what was the original intent for the ratification of the 14th Amendment? Just, we're in court right now. I'm the attorney. You're one of the Supreme Court justices. I know you present arguments and take questions from the justices, but I'm going to turn this role play around a little. I'm going to ask Chief Justice Roberts, who was appointed by George W. Bush, who said in response to the Solicitor General, well, we're living in a new world. And Roberts said, yes, we are living in a new world, but we have the same Constitution. Justice Roberts, you're Justice Roberts. What was the original intent of the ratification of the 14th Amendment? What was it supposed to do back then?
Factually, it's very simple, that it was in the era when the slaves, 13th Amendment freed the slaves. 14th Amendment was to guarantee citizenship rights to slaves.
And that was the original intent, correct, Justice Roberts?
Yes.
Okay. Second question. If that was the original intent, and you're saying that it is the same Constitution, what does slavery have to do in 2026?
Okay. First of all, you have my answer.
No, you're Justice Roberts. You're under oath. I'm going to treat you as a hostile witness. I want an answer, Justice Roberts, to my question.
Okay. So I will give you the answer that I think Roberts would give. Well, over the last
My question was specific, sir. Slavery. What role does slavery have to do in 2026 with the United States?
The Constitution is a living
and
breathing
document. No, you're not answering my question, sir. I'm asking a specific question.
Because
slavery has nothing to do in 2026. Correct?
It's a living and breathing document.
Mr. Bishop. Sir. The 14th Amendment had original intent that was specific to slavery and the slaves. There is no slavery in 2026. However, the 14th Amendment has been manipulated for immigration. 14th Amendment was never about immigration. It was about slavery, correct?
Bailiff, take this man from my court. Yes, I agree with you. I don't know.
What's so frustrating to me. I don't understand why Solicitor General Sauer, that was arguing for Donald Trump, why he didn't use that argument. He had it. If you boil it down to original intent of the founding fathers and the ratification by the states, it's game over. We don't have slavery anymore. Therefore, the 14th Amendment is not applicable to birthright citizenship. It had nothing to do with it in 2026, and therefore the executive order should stand.
I will address that a little bit.
Okay, let's get in. I will let you have the floor.
Okay, so Lincoln. Now, this is right before the Civil War. He's talking about the Fugitive Slave provision, yeah. Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3 of our Constitution that I read before the break, which basically said a person held to service, if they take off, run away from their master, you have to return him to the South. That's what it says. Lincoln was saying this to try to alleviate the fears of the South that he was going to just, by executive action or some other, just do away with slavery on his own. He said, I'm not going to do that. Okay, I've taken an oath. I'm not going to do that. So So Lincoln continues. He said, it is scarcely questioned that this provision was intended by those who made it for the reclaiming of what we call fugitive slaves. And the intention of the lawgiver is the law. That's what he says. And the intention of the lawgiver is the law. All members of Congress swear their support to the whole Constitution, to this provision, as much as to any other. To the proposition, then, that slaves whose cases within the terms of this clause shall be delivered, their oaths are unanimous. We all swore an oath to the Constitution. And what Lincoln is saying here is, I swore an oath to the Constitution. Yes, you know that I'm against slavery. I think it's a moral evil. But I swore an oath to this, to the whole Constitution. This is part of it. And I will, one way or another, enforce this law. Now, he goes on to say, because that provision that I read before the break doesn't say whether it's federal authority or state authority is to return the slave or the person held to service. But Lincoln says that's not consequential to them or to anybody else. If you're a slave, you know you're going to get returned. He is trying to alleviate the fears of the South that that provision will not be enforced, will not be backed up, but supported, executed by the president. And saying, I swear an oath to the Constitution. This is in the Constitution. I'm going to enforce it. And the idea here is the intention of the lawgiver is the law. Nobody could deny that that's in the Constitution and what they intended it to mean. Listen, anytime you interpret anything ever in just everyday language, the intentions of what the person is saying, that is the law. That's what they meant. I mean, that's blatantly obvious, of course, right? Blatantly obvious.
So you would think it's blatantly obvious, but why can they not simply understand that history?
Right. Well, here's what they're going to argue. They argue that it's been interpreted differently throughout the last 125 years, and that we are going to just continue in that process. Now, the 14th Amendment has five sections. I'm not going to read all five because they're pretty long. The one that's contested here is the Section 2. Sections 1 and 2. Here's Section 1 of the 14th Amendment. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction of are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. What's the historical context of this? Now, all these black children that were born into slavery, but they're a citizen. They're now citizens. They were born here. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor to deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Okay, so here's what the liberals are saying, and even some conservatives now. They're saying, in order to deny any person within its jurisdiction. Okay, we say they meant that to mean that they obviously intended this for former slaves that were born in the United States. They are citizens, and you can't deny them that. The phrase that they're arguing here is, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction. So they're saying, okay, look at the wording of the Constitution. Look at the wording. If somebody is born in this country, all persons born or naturalized in the United States, that's the first line of Section 1. I could go on and talk about Section 2, 3, 4, and 5, but I'm not. Any person born in this country, any person that's within the jurisdiction has equal protection. So, and it started off somewhat understandable, as a lot of these things do. It started off somewhat understandable. There was a Supreme Court decision in 1898, United States versus Wong Kim Ark. Okay. And this is where you could see that the justices were saying, look, in 1898, there was these people were legally residents in the United States. I think we'd say today they're green cards. They were in the United States legally. They had a baby. Now, if they had a baby, and they were here illegally, is that baby a citizen? Well, it's like they're illegal, but does that mean that they're citizens? And so what's been challenged now is, okay, they were here legally. What about illegally? So it was 1898, and then it was carried to another in 1982, Pyler versus Doe. It stated that the 14th Amendment protection applies to all aliens, lawful or unlawful, as both are equally subject to United States jurisdiction. So they take that little phrase there in Article 1 of the 14th Amendment. Anybody, if you're under the jurisdiction of the United States, you're a citizen. Whether, as in the 1898 decision, they were there here illegally. 1982, they're saying, illegal, legal, doesn't matter. The words of the Constitution are the words of the Constitution. What I'm arguing is, but the intention of the lawgiver is the law. There is no way on earth that they ever intended this to be so, that someone here illegal would come to the United States illegally. And you can kind of tell when you read a source that's like undocumented immigrants, instead of saying illegal aliens, undocumented immigrants. In other words, people that came here illegally, somebody that broke the law, snuck into the country, had a child. The argument is they are citizens. By the way, I heard Jonathan, what's the guy, who was talking about this yesterday. I said, okay, I'll try to talk about this. I've been told, he said it anyway, that the Chinese, the Tricoms, are sending pregnant couples over having babies in the United States so they can stay here almost permanently. And it's a plan that there are thousands of Chinese coming, having babies, so yep, that we can't tell them to leave based on the 14th Amendment. Now, here's the conservatives on the court say this. They're saying, look, we're conservatives. Precedent has been set. We conservatives don't like to overthrow precedent. This is the way it is. We're not going to go back to the original intent. We live in a different country now. So even though it's a complete misinterpretation of the 14th Amendment, we got to continue with this misinterpretation, which has been going on 127 years. So we have to go with it.
Okay, I'm going to stop you on that argument. It hasn't been happening for 127 years. What you just described, billionaire Chinese businessmen, even rich Russians, are doing what's called surrogacy birth. They pay women to have babies in the United States of their blood, of their sperm, to become U.S. citizens. They are doing it. That hasn't been going on for 127 years. Birthright citizenship regarding immigrants, people who are here illegally. Actually, the argument he did say in front of the Supreme Court justices was illegal aliens. He didn't say immigrants. He said aliens. And that, of course, is because they're alien to the United States with loyalties to other countries. So we're going to take a break. Bottom of the hour news. My phone's blowing up with text messages. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back with Pastor Chatfield. Birthright citizenship in the United States Supreme Court. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan's leading news provider, delivering real, honest news to Michiganders statewide.
Good morning for Michigan News Source. I'm David Barr. As Artemis II heads to the moon, a Traverse City based company is playing a small but vital role in part of its mission. Atlas Space Operations confirmed that its ground station in Hawaii is providing antenna access for a customer supporting a South Korean government satellite launching aboard the Artemis II rocket. Atlas says it is providing access to the antenna while the customer has handles its own communications. The mission is expected to last 3 months. The Michigan Natural Resources Commission has introduced a new series of regulations for anglers across the state. The DNR updated possession limits, size requirements, and gear definitions for various species to manage state fisheries. The changes impact popular fishing spots, including Lake Superior, the Menominee River, and specific lakes in the Upper Peninsula. Anglers should visit the DNR website for updated information.